So when God created the man, these three things I mentioned were all operational in his life. The man was in a realm that overlapped into the heavens and into the earth. So he was functioning at the divine height. Eden was not just a place, it was a convergence point. So when the man was in Eden, he was actually functioning both in the realm of God and in the realm of the natural. That was why God didn't need permission to come into Eden. God just walked into Eden. You don't know where he came from. You don't know where he went out from. Because Eden overlapped into the heavens. So the man was functioning at the God height while he was in Eden. Number two, the man was functioning with the authority of God. He said, let them have dominion. So the authority that God worked with was the same authority that God gave to the man. That's why God was in the business of naming. The man continued the business of naming. Because the Bible said God called the woman Eve. The man woke up and called her Eve. They were functioning at the same frequency of authority. One, because they were in the same realm. Number two, they were operating the same authority. And number three, the man sustained the image of God. So he had the stature of God. Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. So when you looked at God and looked at the man, they were identical. He had the nature of God, he had the authority of God, and he had the realm of God. So Adam was the only man before the coming of Jesus Christ that functioned at the realm of God, at the authority of God, and carrying the nature of God. So he was a man functioning in an ascended reality. But something happened when he fell. Man began to experience another realm, a realm that was not the realm of God. He descended from that realm. Number two, man took upon himself another nature. So in John chapter 8 verse 44, he said, you are of your father the devil. The lust of your father shall ye do. So suddenly the man did no longer look like God. The man began to look like another spirit. So he did not only descend from the realm of God, he took upon himself the nature of another spirit. So he began to pursue the lust of that spirit. And number three, the authority that the man had, he lost it. Suddenly, the lions that the man could play with began to hunt the man. The man naturally could call the lion and say, your name is lion, your name is tiger, your name is deer, your name is antelope. But suddenly, the lion sees the man and devours him. And if he doesn't run for his life, he's finished. So authority is not just to gather people and instruct them. Authority is the ability to rule creation. So the power to rule creation, he lost it. Creation began to rebel against him. He found himself in another world entirely. So there was a necessity for a journey back from a descended realm. A journey from a realm without authority, and a journey from a denatured realm back to the realm of God, to the authority of God, and to the nature of God. And I tell you this morning, we are all at different levels in that journey. The realm where you function from is not the realm where I function from. The realm where you function from, perhaps if you wake up in the morning, angels come to sing with you and they worship with you in the morning, and it's natural to you. The realm where I function from, maybe when I wake up, I may need to pray in tongues for 2 hours. I may need to sing for 1 hour to be able to begin to sense the atmosphere of heaven. But there's another man that while he's sleeping, angels are tapping him. It's time to wake up. And that man wakes up into a company of angels, and they are worshiping God. And when he's about to sleep, he will tell the angels, please wait, I need to rest. I am human, you are angel. Meanwhile, somebody else is in another realm, praying and hoping that angelic ministry will support him. Another person has too much of angelic ministry that he needs to excuse them to rest. So we are in different realms. While somebody else is laboring with flyers, sponsoring posts in order to have publicity, another person just stands up and say, on the 1st of October we'll have a program, and instantly angels go to work. Instantly
He just makes an announcement and 10,000 angels are deployed and the whole city will gather there. Meanwhile, another preacher preaching the same Jesus Christ, we have 20 posters, 30 people. The hall will still not be packed because we are functioning from different realms. We have different authorities and we have different identities in the spirit. Make no mistakes about it. Men are not the same. We are in different cadres in the spirit. And if you understand what I want to teach this morning, you will consciously begin to shift in your migration as you live on earth. There are many people in business today who have borrowed money and keep borrowing to survive. So they borrow from A, and when A calls them for their payment, they borrow from B to settle A. And when B comes, they borrow from C to settle B. And when C comes, they borrow from D to settle C. So they are living from borrowing to borrowing until they become servants. Yet there are other people, as they wake up in the morning, their battery have run down. Why? Because of alerts. They are receiving alerts until their batteries have run down. And then you are wondering, what are they doing? They are functioning from an ascended realm. So men count it a privilege to give to them. There are other men that they wake up and there are 1,000 business proposals. They are looking for which one to choose. It's a realm. When you step into that realm, you will discover that things work effortlessly. It's just waiting for you to command and it will happen. But you need to pay attention consciously to grow into those realms. The reason people struggle is because we no longer pay attention to growth. We pay attention to results. So men are trying to achieve what they don't have the capacity to walk in. If you jump, you will come down. But when you grow, you will stand. Come up here, that is not just an experience. It's not just an encounter. It's a realm that you live in because you have grown in stature to stand in that realm. Are we together? I want you to calm down so you will hear what I'm saying. Yesterday we began with the move of power. People were screaming, people were on the floor. But I want to teach you things you will walk with. You were created to walk in the realm of God, to walk in the authority of God, and to sustain the stature of God. He said, this is the mystery of godliness. This is the mystery of godliness. He began to show us the route that we will follow to come into the fullness of the ascended life. He said, God became flesh. That means what God did was that God descended from the highest to the lowest. God became flesh. That was the mystery of godliness. That God descended from the dimension of the divine and it took the dimension of ordinary mortals. He said he was justified in the spirit, preached among men, and after the whole route, he said he was received back into glory. So what God did was that God became man so that man would become God. What God did was that God descended so that God can ascend. Before God wore the garment of man, he was a spirit being. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. This is God. This is Creator. This is life. But when you come to John 1:14, it said, God, Creator, life, became flesh and dwelled among men. So it was a journey of descension. So God descended from the God realm into the ordinary realm of men. But when God finished that assignment, it was not enough. He still had to descend into Hades. Because he had to descend to the lowest realm so that he can carry the man in the lowest realm to the highest realm. So God did not just descend to the realm of men. The Bible said he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Philippians 2 from verse 5. He said he stripped himself of the garment of divinity. He suffered like every man
until he died the death of a criminal. So he descended into Hades. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8. Him that descended. So God went to the lowest level of existence. First, he descended from being a God to become a man. Secondly, he descended from being a man to become sin. Thirdly, he descended from becoming sin to Hades, the place of judgment. And when he had descended to the lowest realm, he now began to ascend. And he came out of Hades. And he didn't just come out of Hades. The Bible said men saw him in Jerusalem. He came back to the realm of a man. And he didn't stop there. He ascended further. Because Mary Magdalene wanted to touch me. He said, touch me not. I have not yet ascended to my Father. And then he ascended to the highest. And the Bible said in Ephesians 4:12 that he ascended far above all heavens. So he didn't stop his ascension in heaven. The reason is because God does not dwell in heaven. The throne of God is in heaven. What God does is that he allows his dimensions. He has too many dimensions that you can't find. He said his ways are past finding out. But what God does is that in order to educate heaven about him, because life is actually the knowledge of God. John 17:3. So in order to educate the angelic realm about God, once and again, different dimension comes upon the throne. So they look at the different dimensions and they worship him. But the Bible says God dwells in light that cannot be approached. God is not in heaven because God was before heaven was created. So what God does is that he comes into heaven to release definite dimensions for angels to study part-time. That's why the 24 elders keep beholding him and they keep worshiping him. When they understand one dimension, another dimension manifests. So the throne of God is actually the school of God, where God reveals himself to be known. So once and again, he reveals a dimension and the angels look at it and they worship. After a while, when they understand that dimension, he releases another dimension. He releases another dimension. But God himself is in light that is unapproachable. So when Jesus ascended in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 10, he didn't stop in heaven. The Bible said he ascended far above all heaven. So where Jesus went to is where God dwells. And when Jesus ascended to that realm, he said this is the realm where he wants to bring man. And so the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. So our journey of ascension actually begins from the realm of condemnation, the realm of Hades, to the highest realm of glory. So there are men who are still walking in the realm of condemnation. These are sinners who have not received Jesus Christ. They are still bound by the powers of corruption, sin, and death. So when you see somebody, even if he's a sheikh, even if he's an emir, even if he's a governor, and he has not accepted Christ, in spiritual equation, he's in the lowest cadre. Because through the systems of this world, he may be bringing leadership to people, but in the realm where it matters, he is functioning in the lowest realm without spiritual authority. That's why that man can die of headache. That's why that man can die of cancer. Because when spiritual equation is introduced, even though he's governor, he's at the least level. And when you look at that man in the spirit, he doesn't carry the nature of God. So that man is actually in the lowest realm. Anybody without Jesus, whatever his title among men is, he is at the lowest realm of existence, the realm of condemnation. Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the realm of death and the realm of condemnation. It is the lowest realm of existence. So the first ascension campaign that took place in your life was when the evangelist stood on the crusade ground and told you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. That day you walked to make that altar call. You ascended from the realm of death to the realm of life.
That was your first journey in ascension. That was the first time you began to come up hither. But when you receive Christ, because when you receive Christ, you came into the realm of life. The Bible said in James 1:18, of his own free will begat he us to be a type of his first fruit. Because we have come into the economy of the divine by receiving the life of God. And he didn't stop there. In 1 John chapter 5 from verse 11, he said, this is the record. This is the record that eternal life is in the Son. And whoever has the Son has life. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And in John chapter 5 verse 26, he said, whoever believes in me shall not come to condemnation, for he has passed from death to life. So the first ascension that took place when you received Christ, when you received this life, he said, you have passed from death to life. So you shifted from Hades to the kingdom of God. You shifted from darkness to light. You shifted from death to life. That's why in Colossians 1:12, the Bible said, giving thanks to the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Because we were actually in darkness. We were actually in the lowest realm of existence. But when we received Christ, we ascended. We came into the realm of light. But that is the lowest realm of existence. In the realm of light, that's the realm of children. So everybody that have accepted Christ has stepped into the class of the children of God. He said, as many as believed, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. The children of God. So you can be in light for 30 years and be a child. See the problem with the realm of a child. In Galatians 4:1, he said, the heir, so long as he's a child, is not different from a servant, even though he is Lord of all. So the child will forsake like the sinner. The child will sin like the sinner. The child will experience everything that the sinner is experiencing. So much so that you'll be surprised and you say, I thought you were born again. He is in a descended realm. Even though he has come into light, he is still functioning as a child. That's why if you go to Big Brother Niger today, 99% of the names you hear are Christian names, but they are children. Even though they have been born into the realm of light, they are still ruled by the systems of this world. And it's so pathetic that you will never find a Muslim name there. You will hardly see a Muhammad there. You hardly see an Amina there. It is Christians that should carry light that are so much of puppets in the hands of the devil. Go to more than 50% of the homes of Christians. What they are doing in this season, they are watching Big Brother Niger. No message here, no edification, no Christ. They are just watching lust and water and importing spirits into their family, because they don't know that spirits travel on vibration. As you hear those sounds and see those sights, you are downloading demons into your house. Because when they talk about those nudity, when they talk about those immoral and serpentine lifestyle, they are importing a kingdom and a government into your house. And you will watch it until your partner will become a potter of demons. Because you don't know that those sights and those words, the same way I'm preaching to you now, and after a while, this hall will become charged. After a while, because the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. After a while, this auditorium will become charged because I'm emitting spirit. That's how you watch. They talk iniquity, they talk immorality, they talk water until your house will become charged with demons. And you will not know why suddenly you start feeling like divorcing your wife. You will not know why suddenly you start thinking of having extramarital relationship. You don't know why suddenly quarrel hits the family. Because the same quarrel you are watching, the same manipulation you are watching in the program, very soon will step into your room. Because those were sponsored by spirits, and the words and the sights from those programs are gateways into your house. God, you are mighty on your throne.
So when you see people delight in such things, even if their title is apostle, they are babes. It shows you the realm where they are walking. They are still of the flesh. Because when you become a child, there are three possibilities that you will find. Number one is rebellion. Number two is ignorance. Number three is obedience. Every child of God functions in these three cadres. Either he's rebellious, deliberately using his will against the will of God. He knows God is against immorality, but that's what he enjoys. He knows God is against lying, but that's what he does. He's a rebellious child. He has received the life of God. He is a Christian, but he's at the rebellious level. Then they find those who are ignorant. Even though they know that God is interested in them, they don't know what to do to come into the economy of the functionality of life. So they are still in darkness. And then you'll find few that are beginning to tap into mercy. Those ones become obedient to the heavenly vision. It's the realm of children. So the devil is not only ruling over sinners, the devil is also ruling over believers that are still children. Please sit down. You who reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Our joy, therefore, is not how many people come to church. Our joy is who came to church. Because church can be 10,000 and 9,000 are babes ruled by demons. Our joy, therefore, is not how many people came for the program. Our joy, therefore, is not how many people watch the program online. There may be 10,000 followers. There may be 100,000 followers. But who are they? Who are they? Because until they grow from the realm of children, they have no value in the kingdom of God. So even though they are born again, there is still a need to say, come up hither. Come up. Come up. Because those ones are better agents of darkness. The guy who is a sinner does not have authority. The guy who is a sinner may not even have the gift of the Holy Spirit. But the one who is born again, he has authority. He has gift of the Holy Spirit. He can deploy things from the kingdom of God and transport it to the kingdom of darkness. So the believer who is a child is a more effective tool in the hand of the devil than the one who doesn't know Jesus at all. That's why the devil is not moved when you win souls. It's moved when you start discipleship. It pains him when souls are won, but he becomes afraid when discipleship begins. Because in discipleship, you are raising men from rebellion through ignorance into obedience. That's when truly you deny the devil. Pastor Chris calls it win, build, and send. Thank God you are born again. You have ascended from the realm of condemnation. But are you still in the realm of child? There is still a need to come up hither. It's because you are in the realm of child. That's why you can kill somebody to start a business. And when police arrest you, they say, what is your name? You say, my name is Matthew. They catch a ritualist. What is your name? My name is Nathaniel. They catch a rapist. What is your name? My name is Michael. They are children. They are still living in the rebellious realm. When you see such in society, we should grieve. It means our Christianity and our ministry have not crossed the level of raising babes. We may have 50,000 followers, but we have only raised babes. The ministry has not yet been effective. It has not been effective. Do you know why for 3.5 years Jesus raised only 500? Meanwhile, multitudes followed him. Because it takes so much to bring men up hither. Hyper grace preacher will tell you, you are born again, it's over. No, it's not over. Because if it were over, you would have won the war over sin. If it were over, you would have won the war over demons.
If it were over, you would have been fulfilling God's eternal mandate for your life now. How come you say you are born again, it's over, yet you are living in immorality? How come you are living in sin? How come you are being tormented by demons? It means you are still in the children realm. And when they are children, then they need to begin to feed of the sincere milk of the word of God. When you find children, don't wow and bamboozle them with stories. Mysteries will help them. Teach them the ABC of the gospel. In this apostolic age, it's so difficult now to gather people and teach them the love of God and teach them the mercy of God. You will hardly go to a church now and find out where they are teaching people the doctrine of salvation. When we come, we want to talk to them about angelic dimension. When we come, we want to talk to them about prosperity. This Sunday, you will be big. And then the moment the guy becomes prosperous, the first thing he wants to open is a club. The moment the guy becomes prosperous, he wants to have three wives. One is in Dubai, another one is in London, and one is in Nigeria. The moment the guy becomes prosperous, he becomes a slave of lust. Instead of sitting down to teach them, he said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word of God, that you may grow thereby. So the first instrument of ascension is not a prophecy, is the sincere milk of the word of God. If I asked you now, what is your assurance of salvation? You'll be amazed that many will not know it. If I asked in this auditorium, why do you believe that Jesus is the only way? Many will not know. If I asked in this auditorium, why do you think you are saved? Many will not know. But we come to church, we sing, we shout, we fall under the power of God, and we do all kinds of things. Yet, we remain babes. We receive prophecies from January to December, we remain babes. You will see people coming out of a miracle service, and they are quarreling. Seeing the wonders of God, yet, they step out, they are quarreling. Somebody just received the prophetic word. Forensic prophetic word. As he steps out, even the phone call he's making shows that nothing happened in his life. Come up hither. It's a journey with the word of God. That's why the apostle said, we will not give ourselves to tables, we will give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. Because they need to jack babes from the realm of babes. When you become born again, whether you like it or not, rebellion will come into your spirit, because you have not yet come under the government of life. So you will still find yourself struggling with the things you were doing when you didn't know Jesus. Ora Roberts shared a story. Either Ora Roberts or Tia Losborn now, he warned somebody to Christ. The person was crying and weeping, repenting, and he said, thank God he has won a soul. So he came back the next day to see the person who was weeping yesterday, crying and repenting before the Lord. Lo and behold, when he came, the guy was in the very act of fornication. What happened? From one extreme to another extreme. What is this? He almost gave up, and God told him, he's a child. Because when you bait a child, wear him his best clothes, come out 2 minutes later, is in the dust playing. So he's not different from a swine. That's why the Bible calls him a servant. Until you teach the word of God, it may sound boring, but keep bombarding him with the word of God, because the word of God is spirit and life. So you cannot ascend until the word of God saturates your spirit. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 119 verse 9 and 11, he said, how then shall a young man keep his ways? He said, by taking heed unto thy word. He said, thy word have I put in my heart, that I should not sin against you. The government came when the word came. I know many people love mysteries. Thank God for them. But it begins from growing. When you begin to feed on the word of God, over time, you discover that you move from rebellion, and then you begin to seek the the mind of God. That's the realm of ignorance. You are finding out, what did God say about this? What did God say about that? What did God say about this? What did God say about this? Day and night you are searching. You are seeking because you want to find. And then when you move from the realm of ignorance, you come into the realm of obedience. That's why I say many of the priests became obedient to the faith. They had migrated from rebellion through ignorance, and they have come into obedience. So now the will of God is what powers them. When a man gets there, then he has ascended again. The realm of a child, you don't have authority over demons. You don't have authority over sickness. You don't have authority over nothing. You will pray for the sick, they will die. You will go to cast out demons, they will pound on you and deal with you. If you are not careful, they will remove some of your teeth and leave it with you as a badge that you dared what you didn't know about. Those days we went to pray for a demon possessed, and the most giant person among us, he thought it was about size. He didn't know spirit, the league of spirit. There are some spirits that their name is strength. They can be like this. They will jack you up. And you'll be wondering, where is the power? No, it's another dimension. So superimpose it to your dimension. When the guy who came, who were commanding the lady was laughing. You know, demons know those who have authority. He said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? It's not just to come and say, I have the name of Jesus. They will say, we know Jesus. We know Paul. We know Evangelist Uche. Who are you? We shouted. We now began to speak in tongues. We wanted to charge our spirit. No matter how you charge yourself, if you are a child, you are a child. Imagine if children with pampers now gather themselves and go to the road and say, we no go greet. The governor must resign. They will say, carry them from the road quickly before. So that's what many people do. A rebellious person who is at the realm of a child will jump out and say, Shaba, Kaba, Koba, Hedaba, Hedaba, Hiba, 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 Hiba. And say, in the name of Jesus, the demon now do like this. You now come up with pride again, because for you it's a show. Ah, we have dealt with the demon. Meanwhile, a man who has grown is having compassion. When the child comes, he wants to do a show. When the demon now lies down, say, ah, now I'm smarting. We don't finish the work. As he's going, then he hears, ha 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 ha. That's where you know you are still wearing pampers. When we showed up, we surrounded the lady, formed a garrison around her. Mama, kela kataka. When we finished praying in tongues, that guy stepped up and said, in the name of Jesus, the lady whacked him a slap. The guy, to prove that the guy is truly a babe, he now said, what? You slap me? He laughed. You know what he did? He just proved the realm where he operates from. The realm of anger. It's a baby's realm. You slap me, he slapped the lady back. And that was how we stopped our deliverance campaign and went home. Because when the lady slapped him, he got angry. When he slapped the lady started laughing. Because what the devil did was, he brought him to his own realm. You are a baby. We knew that we were defeated. We left. If you are still functioning in rebellion, you are a child. You need to come up here. If you are functioning in ignorance, you are a child. You need to come up here. Forget the title you are bearing. It's a joke. The reason we have problem today and the church is attracting ridicule is because there are many babes with pampers on the altar. when they are giving offering, they are thinking of what to buy. So the guy collects it for crusade. The next thing, he has an iPhone. No budget for the kingdom. The money he has not spent on the kingdom, he's spending on himself. So he merchandises the house of God, and he reaps and rapes the resources of God and the house of God for his own gratification. He's a child. He can preach an accurate gospel. He's a child. Because in the realm of the spirit, it's not what you talk about. It's who you are, where you are walking from, and the authority you can command. The way to ascend from the realm of the child is to feed on the word of God. No prophecy can take you from the realm of a child. If you like, receive prophecies and impartation for 5 years, you will remain a baby. Things around you can increase. Your account can increase, your cars can increase, your houses can increase, but you will become a better agent of the devil because you will remain a child. The only thing that has the power to take you from the realm of a child to the next height in the spirit is the word of God. You don't know it, you will be a babe. And you either be in rebellion or in ignorance or in obedience. But when you are fed on the word of God, a point comes when something happens. You now leap from the realm of a child. You come to the realm of sons. Sons are kingdom agents that establishes government. And there are a few things I want to tell you about sons. Few things. Please sit. The first thing I want to tell you about sons is that sons bear the image of their father and they walk in his likeness. So they know the mind of their father. They do the will of their father. That's who they are. A son is not a son just by birth or by title. You can be born male, but you'll be a child. So in spiritual equation, a son is not a gender sensitive reality. It's a maturity sensitive reality. If you study the Bible in Greek, you understand it better. There is a word called nepios. There's a word called techno. And there's a word called huos. A nepios is one who does not have understanding. He may have been in the kingdom for 40 years, but he doesn't have understanding. That's the one referred to in Galatians 4:1. The heir, so long as he's a nepios, is not different from a servant. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, it said the Spirit of God beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children. It's technon. We are the technons of God. What it means is that to be born of God like an offspring. But in Romans 8, 14, it said they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons, they are the heroes of God. These ones have come into maturity. They can handle kingdom and establish government. So when a man does not come into the level of sonship, he has not ascended. But there are three things that brings you to the realm of sons. Ascension from the realm of condemnation to the realm of a child is to believe and confess Jesus. Ascension from the realm of a child to the realm of a son is to receive the word of God. Ascension from the realm of a son forward, one, is to be led by the Spirit of God. Sons don't function by reasoning or by their senses. I know A will work better, but the Holy Ghost says B. So if you have not even come to a level where you can hear the voice of God and follow him, you can't even walk in the realm of sonship. Because sons are led by the Spirit. They don't live their life based on assumption. They know what it takes to be regulated by the Holy Spirit. And to come to a point where you are led by the Holy Spirit, it will take labor in the Spirit. This is where we begin to deploy kingdom infrastructures that mortifies the flesh. In Romans chapter 9 verse 26, Paul said, I beat my body and I bring it under subjection. So what Paul is trying to do is to silence the voice of the flesh. So many times when you want to begin the journey of sonship, it may take hours and hours of prayers behind closed doors. Because what you are trying to do is that you are bringing your body under subjection. You'll start praying for 5 minutes and suddenly many thoughts begin to fly through your mind. If you are a child, you will stand up and go and attend to those things. But when you are a son, you will know that for the Holy Ghost to take over, the flesh must be silenced. The flesh must be mortified. So even though it is hard to pray, a son will kneel down there on his knees, become like the knee of a camel. Because what he's trying to do is beating his body. His body speaks too loud that he cannot hear the Holy Spirit. So when he goes to prayer, suddenly the body makes him feel that, come on, you have been here for too long. Will you be here forever? Go out and have some fun. Then children will open the door and they will come and look outside. Does he want to rain? Like this weather today. Okay, no problem. And then he will carry his phone and begin WhatsApp. And he will do WhatsApp for 4 hours. He did prayers for 30 minutes. A child will want to pray. And then after a while, he begins to feel unrest in his body. He will just stand up, go to the kitchen, open the pot, close it, go and open the fridge. What is in this fridge? He will close it. He will open the window, close it, and then he will go and lie down. Kai, oh boy, no, it's you. He will carry Facebook. And he will be on Facebook for 6 hours. The time that he should spend in the spirit, that's the time he spends on earth. And so he will remain of earth. But the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 47, he said, the first man is of the earth, so earthy. He said, the second man is of the spirit and is of heaven, so he's heavenly. He said, the same way we have borne the image of the earthly man, we should also bear the image of the heavenly man. So when I go into the spirit to do business in the spirit and my senses want to draw me into the flesh, I will mortify the senses. I will beat my body and I will keep it there. When I train my body, after a while, my body will begin to sense the movements of the spirit. That's the journey of sonship. I kneel down to pray and it looks as if I can't pray for 2 hours. And then I keep at it. I'm not talking congregational prayer, where children come to do some assault in the auditorium and say they are praying. They distract themselves. You know they are children. You will come for minister's meeting and see how we pray. We don't pray and lift chairs up. We don't pray and 10 of us are lying on ourselves. We didn't come to distract ourselves. We came to commune. So when ministers are praying, sometimes you just step aside. The person praying in tongues there may be too loud. And you find your place and you face the wall and you are talking to God for 4 hours. Because your goal is heaven, not activity. So I'm not talking congregational prayer, where you come and all of you are doing, hey. Are you doing juggling? Are you going for Olympics? I'm not talking fleshly displays for children. And the way you will know, come there. They will pray for 1 year, you will still find backbiting. You will still find malice. You will still find immorality. Because it didn't touch them. It was a display of flesh. So the guy who carries the microphone wants to pull down the building. Because that time they are streaming it on Facebook. But the moment he drops the mic, he goes and sits down and sleeps. His goal was not prayer. His goal was a show. When they know that the cameraman is coming close. At best, you will receive a reputation that you are people of prayer, but you will not have authority in the spirit. At best, men will clap and say, these people are praying people. You will not have authority in the spirit. It's a show in the flesh. That's not what I'm talking about. Jesus said, when you want to do real prayer, he said, shut the door. Shut the door. Shut the door. And come and dig into the waters of eternal life. That's where you pray. Many people in congregation, they can stand for 10 hours because they have a reputation that they are praying horses. They are Mustang. So they can't sit down because some of the sisters are not sitting down. Because of that reputation, they will walk like a spiritual man for 10 hours. It's his will he's exercising, not his spirit. He's training his will, not his spirit. But when you want to do sincere, real business, the first thing your prayer imparts is your flesh. When you truly begin to pray, you forget who is around you. When you truly begin to pray, it will attack your ego. It will attack your pride. It will attack everything that makes you feel you have reputation. You have started the business of prayer. Because until the flesh becomes quiet, the Holy Ghost can be powerful. So what sons do is that they make it a prerogative to live in the spirit. And one of the ways to do it is to beat their senses and bring it under subjection on the altar of prayer. That's why I say when Jesus prayed, he was changed. The fashion of his countenance was altered. When he prayed, he was changed. Because prayer will decimate the flesh. So you can't be a son until you are led of the spirit. When you want to take decisions and 90% of the decision comes from your mind, you are a child. You have not yet been led of the spirit. And I know many people, even important destiny decisions, they make it on the strength of assumptions, or at best counsels and recommendations from others. They have never known the spirit. They never walk with the spirit. They see a lot of things, but you see them being deceived every day. The reason somebody can come and deceive you is because you don't know the movement of the Holy Spirit. When somebody is talking, even if he's calling the name of Jesus, if you have a rich relationship with the Holy Spirit, you will know that this is not Christ talking. This is a serpent. But many are not sons because they are not led by the Spirit. So one of the things that make you ascend in the realm of sonship is the perpetual leadership of the Holy Spirit. And you will labor to get there. It's not a gift. It's not a token. It's something you step into by deliberate sacrifice. Come up hither. It's a journey with the Holy Spirit. Number two, it is the capacity to focus and constantly behold. He said, we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are metamorphosed. We are changed. Change is not a product of advice. Change is a product of beholding and the inner works of the Holy Spirit. That's why you will advise your children, threatening them. The moment they leave your environment, they begin to do what they want. Because you are not exposing them to beholding, but the devil knows the strategy. Everything they see is showing them a picture. You are laboring with advice, threatening them and telling them stories. But when they carry their phone, they see a naked woman. When they go out to buy a razor blade, even the advertisement of razor blade carries a naked woman. What role does a naked woman's picture have to do with the advert of razor blade? Because demons know the laws of the spiritual. If they keep beholding, they will become. So instead of you bringing them to a place of beholding, you are threatening them, telling them exaggerated stories of how Sister Martha, the first time she went to have sex, she died, or she became pregnant, and when she wanted to abort, her womb was removed. She will know all those stories. But the day she enters campus, 2 weeks later, she'll be disflowered, because the story will not have the power to change her. It is the things you have seen and heard that will make her become. So if we don't behold, we cannot graduate in the realm of sonship. So one thing sons do is that they constantly behold the image of Christ. So they are not just filling themselves with the word of God anymore. They are looking at the word of God because they want to find Jesus. So a child can recite scriptures, put scriptures in his spirit. That's good. But a son is not carried away by the volume of scripture. He is carried away by the depth he has in scripture. So a son can sit on a verse of scripture for 1 year. A child can be gathering 30 scriptures. That's good at that level. But a son is not interested, because a son knows that every scripture is a gate. Every scripture is a portal into a place, a thing, or a reality. Because the scriptures are not words. The scriptures are spirits. So they are places. There are scriptures you begin to look upon and you will appear somewhere in the spirit, because the scriptures are places. The scriptures are things. There are scriptures you will look upon and you will bet a dimension. because those things were encapsulated in those words. That's why a man can sit on the scripture. After a while, the rod of healing comes out. I read about Reverend Chris Oyakhilome. He sat on Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. He was hearing because God was with him. Because God was with him. That was what stood up in that scripture. Because God was with him. Because God was with him. Because God was with him, became a trumpet until his ears almost broke. He was hearing that thing so loud that he almost destroyed his eardrum. One scripture, and suddenly, because God was with him, 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 because God, and suddenly he exploded. God is with me. And when he entered the healing meeting, everybody was on the floor. Cancers were falling. Blind eyes were opened. Because that's a reality. A son does not recite many scriptures. A son journeys into scripture. Because the goal is to behold. I want to find out what is the dimension of Christ that is locked in this scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What dimension is kept here? Because I know this is a journey. What is hid in this scripture? And then he begins to explore it like an astronaut exploring space. And he opens that scripture. He opens it until suddenly he steps into the love of the Father. Because it's not about the story, it's about the dimension that is kept there. Many children can't do that labor. That's why it says to honor them doubly, that labor in word and in doctrine, because it's a sacrifice. But sons pay that price. There are many people who are prophets, they don't pay that price. That's why they can't showcase any reality. They don't carry anything. The dimensions of God and the excellencies of his spirit, they are locked in scriptures. They are hid there. Only men who can exploit will find it. And when you look, a point will come when that dimension will come out. And you will see it, and you will become what you have seen. Dr. Paul said, I am a weapon. Because he didn't just read, I am God's battle axe. He looked at it until suddenly he saw the weapon that came out. He knows the one he is. Because some men are spears. Others are bows. Others are machine guns. Others are explosive. If Rehab Bonke come into your city, the whole city will explode. He's not an arrow. He's a bomb. He's a bomb. He saw it in the spirit. And he said his goal is to depopulate hell. So he stopped. He wasn't even doing business with God. He came into the world to do business with devil. He said, it's me and you. When we see who we take more souls from this world, I don't need to bring God into this matter. I'm enough for you. I'm not calling the name of God into this matter. I will depopulate hell. Me, I will depopulate hell. Because when I found myself in the spirit, I'm an explosive. So when he enters Lagos, 12 million people can gather. There is no publicity that gathers 12 million people except as a bomb exploded. And sometimes even herbalists, they shut down their shrine. Some run from their shrine because an unknown fire sets the shrine on fire. And your shrine is burning. Why are you running to a crusade ground? Because you saw the bomb. You saw when it exploded. Meanwhile, there are some that are spares. Those ones are for fight. The Bible said that they answer the son of Dodo. They can fight for money tonight. They will be slain. The more they slay, the more their elements come alive. That's who they are. But they found it in scripture. Because we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass the image of the Lord, we are changed. So sons have a walk of beholding. The guy can carry one scripture for 2 weeks. And he's just talking that scripture. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. How God anointed Jesus. A point will come, he will meditate on that scripture until literal oil will begin to drip from his hand. And then he tells you, oil is dripping from my hand. You say it's a lie. Ah! All these people, they sweat. You don't know what you are saying. If you journey into that scripture, you will discover that there is anointing there. And when you touch it, it will crystallize on your body. You want to ascend? Don't think you will come to a conference and receive impartation. You will remain a child until the word of God comes to life in your spirit. You will remain a child unless you migrate by the word into the realm of sonship, where the Holy Ghost can rule you, where you will begin to behold. At best, what will happen to you when I pray is that the scriptures will come alive. So a scripture that you should look at for 2 weeks, you can see it for 30 minutes and you begin to see what men don't see. And suddenly, you will know why the first Adam was able to rule the galaxies. And like Joshua, you too can come and say, "Sun, stand. Rain, stop." And somebody will look at you and say, "This man have the gift of faith." It's not just the gift of faith. You have journeyed to a place and you have seen the mystery of commanding the cosmos. You have seen the mystery. You will step into a place and you will understand the secrets of prayer. There is something about prayer. And as you sit there, after a while, the prayer itself will begin to teach you. And suddenly, it will tell you, 6 a.m. in the morning, just begin to pray. And suddenly you are praying, and you are praying, and you are praying. And without planning, the word just come out of your mouth. What God cannot do does not exist. And suddenly, a whole generation begins to talk about it. What God cannot do does not exist. Lord God. Meanwhile, there are many people doing early morning prayer. And some have started now. But there is one man that found the mystery of the rising of the sun. And by prayer, he looked upon something. And when he starts praying that prayer, a whole city can come there in the morning. 50,000 people can wake up just to participate in that prayer. He may do another meeting. He won't find 10,000 there. But at that hour, there was something that he received. There's a mantle over the morning. And so when that man talks in the morning, he is like the sun. He can push darkness backward because he has received the scepter. The reason is because we all, with open faces, beholding as in a glass. Does it not marvel you that the same person can organize a program by 6 to 8 a.m. and 50,000 are watching? And he organizes a program on the same channel by 6 p.m. and they are not up to 10,000. Because there is a mystery he caught about the morning. We all with open faces. This is how we establish government. Beholding as in a glass the image of the Lord. You want to come up hither? You must see something. You can never come up until you see something or until you hear something. Number three, what makes us sons is the fear of the Lord. Now, I know there are many things. You know, I preached something around this subject last week, and I was talking from a different light. Come up here, we were in Abuja. Then I was preaching what God wants me to say this thing. Here this morning, I can preach this subject in different forms. I can preach this subject from the angle of sound and light, but God wants me to journey in this path because there are many of you that want to short circuit process. You want somebody to lay hands on you and then you become a prophet. No, you will bring reproach to the body of Christ. You want somebody to speak over you and say you will take nations and then you just appear in the nations. No. There are many journeys in the spirit that you must undertake. In Malachi chapter 1 verse 6, it says, "If I am a father, where is my honor?" So one of the things that give us the powers of sonship is the reverence and the fear of the Lord. When a man have truly ascended, he begins to dread God's presence. That's why you see the 20 and 4 elders, even though they have thrones, they can't sit on it. They keep falling on their faces. There is the fear of God. There is the dread of God. The reason you see people say, "Me, I don't care about God again," is because they have not ascended. When you hear people talk without reverence for God, don't bother trying to correct them. They have not ascended. God is too big to be mocked. You can't mock him. So when you see a man talk foolishly, it's because he has not ascended. When you ascend and you see the clouds of glory, when you see the thunder and the thunderings, when you see the cherubims, when you see the majesty of the throne, nobody will tell you. The only thing you can do in the throne room is to fall on your face. No man stands in the throne room. They fall on their faces. When a man ascends, the fear of the Lord becomes a self-governing system over his soul. You don't need somebody to tell you about sin and death. You don't need somebody to tell you about hell. The presence of God is more dreadful than Hades. You will fear the Lord more than hell. He said, having seen the terror of the Lord, we commend all men to repent. The guy went to the third heavens. He said, I know a man many years ago, whether he was in the flesh or in the spirit, I can't tell. But that man ascended to the third heavens. The things he saw there, he said, it was unlawful to utter among men. It is in the presence of God that you will see a fire that burns but does not consume. Yet the intensity forever and ever keeps increasing. You will just see a fire burning with intensity. You can look into that fire and you will tell the intensity of that fire. But you will wonder, how come this being can sit in the midst of the fire? Who is this being? He said, in the 30th year, on the fourth month, in the fifth day, I was among the captives by the river Kabar, and I saw visions of God, and I saw a flame that was burning, and him that sat in the midst of that flame. He said, the brightness from that throne, you couldn't look upon it. Do you think that kind of man can come out and live the way he wants? When he saw it, God told him, lie on one side of your body for 390 days. And he laid down in one position. Fear had come. Reverence had come. Everything God says becomes a commandment. Can you lie on one side of your body for 390 days? That's more than 1 year. But Ezekiel did it. And he said, lie on your left side for 40 days and intercede for Judah. So Ezekiel alone was lying in one spot for 430 days because of reverence. He couldn't move. But while he was there, that element, that reality began to impart him. And so suddenly Ezekiel ceased moving like a human being. When Ezekiel wants to travel, his spirit will come out of his body. And Ezekiel wants to come to church, Ezekiel will be lying at home. His spirit will come into church and shake you and say, evangelist, how you do? You think you are talking to Ezekiel. Ezekiel is at home, but Ezekiel is in church, because dimensions began to open up. Terrible dimension. Many times people say, the spirit of the Lord took me by the lock of my hair. Ezekiel began to float in the spirit. Ezekiel almost became omnipotent because he was under the government of the fear of the Lord. So God began to open him up to dimension. That is how sons are raised. When you don't fear God and live by the government of his fear, you cannot see many things in this kingdom. That's why in Psalm 25 verse 14, he said, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenants. He will show them. They live by secrets. The reason you have not seen terrible things in the spirit is because you are still your own. You don't know the God you are serving. They told you stories about him, and the people who told you didn't do a good job. When you know him, you will tremble at his word. When he speaks, you will tremble. You will tremble. God can say, Nathaniel, you will stop everything you are doing. When you go before this God to pray, you will not even be able to look into the heavens. You will tremble. But we have a generation of callous men who have not encountered him that dwells in the midst of the coals of fire. That's why we don't have fear. But every son honoreth his father. So a man who is a son in this kingdom, he enters into the economy of fear. In Isaiah chapter 11 from verse 2, he said, a root is plucked out of Jesse. He said, upon him is the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of might, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And he said, he will no longer judge after the sight of his eyes, nor the hearing of his ears. So what happens to every son when he enters into fear is that he steps into accuracy and he becomes a judge. That's why he said he will no longer judge. That means the authority to judge is conferred upon him, and his judgments are true because he judges by fear. He doesn't judge by human intelligence. He judges by fear. We have a church today where people judge by sentiment. Where people judge without truth. When you have a problem with a man, suddenly you become a rebel. You may be a perfect man for 10 years until you have problem. And suddenly the man who stands publicly and say you are a good man, we go to the back and say you are a demon. Because we don't judge that by fear. We judge by selfishness and sentiment. That's why sonship is not there. Because many are not led by the Spirit of God. Many don't pay the price of beholding. And many don't come under the government of the fear of the Lord. But when a son perfects these things, then he journeys further. There is yet another level of ascension. It's called the realm of priests and kings. It's a long journey. I'm showing you why men are not the same in this kingdom. I know you are born again, but you can be at the cradle of a child. And then you say, no, all of us are saved. Jesus died for all of us. You are right. But all of us are not in the same realm. Some of us are children. Others are sons. And others are priests and kings by experience. He said in Revelation chapter 1 verse 6, he said unto him that washed us and made us kings and priests. But what he was saying, the root is in Exodus chapter 19 verse 4. He said, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, I will make you a kingdom of priests and kings. So when Jesus came, Jesus obeyed his voice and kept his covenant. So Jesus became a king and a priest. And because you are in Christ, you are included in him. But for you to live it out, you must also obey his voice and keep his covenant. So when you want to operate in the class of a priest and a king, there are laws that govern it. And the foundational law is to hear his voice and to keep his covenants. When a man does not have access to the voice of God, nor obey the voice of God, he can never walk in the realm of a king or a priest. Now, if you study the priesthood in scriptures, in the New Testament context, the life of a priest is culminated with sacrifice. And the sacrifice of a priest is the sacrifice of prayer. He said in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 1, he said every high priest is taken from among men on things pertaining to man to offer the sacrifice of to offer the sacrifice for sin and for death. So a priest lives perpetually a life of sacrifice. But in the New Testament context, our sacrifice is the sacrifice of prayer. So when you want to begin to grow in the priesthood, something happens. There are prices you pay in prayer. This time around, you are not going to pray and ask God for things. You are beginning to pray as a life. So when a man gains ascension to the realm of priest, what happens to him is that he begins to live the life of prayer. So in this kingdom, there are no special people that are called to be intercessors. The word intercessor is used once in scripture. God called every one of us to be intercessors. There are no special people that should be intercessors. When you see people excelling in intercession, it's because they have paid more attention to their priesthood office. Every believer is supposed to be a priest and a creature of prayer. That's why in Luke 18:1, he says men ought always to pray and not to faint. If all of us are praying always, how do you know who is an intercessor and who is not? The reason you know who is an intercessor is because many are not praying. If everybody begins to pray always, how will you know who is the intercessor and who is not? Meanwhile, in this kingdom, you are not a citizen until you are a priest. Because you say, I will make you a kingdom of priests. That means our life in this kingdom and what gives us right into the inheritances that God has made available is when we begin to live a life of prayer. So there is a realm you are sent to where you begin to breathe prayer the way you breathe oxygen. So while you are going to school, you are praying. While you are washing, you are praying. Because prayer for you is not a religious thing you do. Prayer for you is the life you live. You have become a priest. You have become a priest, but it's a journey. You will ascend from the realm of sin to the realm of a child. You will ascend from the realm of a child to the realm of a son. Then you ascend to the realm of a priest. If we say, let's begin to pray now, In 5 minutes, some people will get tired. They want to go outside. They don't know why they are going out. But the oxygen we are breathing, they can't breathe it. Because there is a level we will pray to that all of us will begin to breathe prayer. We will no longer breathe air. We will breathe prayer. But if a man doesn't know how to exist there, he will need a lot of mask. Hope you know, if you ascend from the atmosphere, you will not find oxygen. You will find helium. And it's poisonous to your lung. So you will need to carry oxygen mask. That's why most times when we come for prayer meeting, some people need mask of worship. They need mask of praise. So they will pray for 2 minutes and dance and do praise and worship for 10 minutes. Because if they don't wear that mask, they can't breathe in that realm. When you begin to pray, after a while, some people need to go out before they come in for a while. Because those who are creatures of the altar have come into their elements. And that atmosphere is corrosive to a man who doesn't know the way of prayer. And if you don't know the way of prayer, you can't ascend enough to establish government. When you begin to master priesthood, that's when you will come into kingship. Because kingship is a realm beyond priesthood. That's why the priest begins from the outer court to the inner court to the Holy of Holies. It's when the priest gets to the Holy of Holies that it begins legislation and litigation. Many people want to establish dominion when they have not entered the Holy of Holies in the spirit. If your priesthood is not strong, your kingship cannot be strong. Your kingship authority is a function of the efficacy of your priesthood. Without priesthood, there can be no kingship. That's why he made you priests and kings. So you live a life of prayer to be able to establish dominion. So a man must ascend from the realm of a child, where all he needs to do is to accept Jesus, to the realm of a son, where he will receive the word of God consciously, pay the price of following the Holy Ghost, beholding the scriptures, and walking in the fear of God, and then come to a place where prayer becomes his lifestyle. So when you are growing in the spirit, these are the indicators you look at. When you are ascending in the spirit, these are the indicators you look at. If you carry the Bible and you dump it, know that you have not yet begun to grow as a child. But when you come to a realm where the word of God becomes sweet, know that you have entered into the office of a child. Because he said to desire what? The sincere milk. The word becomes sweet. It's like milk to you. But if you carry the word of God and it's dry, you have not begun to grow as a child. You can come for that meeting, dance to a song that you love the melody, you will not grow. You can worship and cry, you will not grow. Until the word of God, you begin to desire the word of God and crave for it. Know that you have received an impartation. I will pray for you this morning. When I pray for you, some of you will leave this conference, you will begin to love the word of God. You want to hear the word of God. You want to read the word of God. That's when you know you have ascended. Not because you fell on the floor. I'm not moved when people fall. I thank God for it, but I'm not moved. Because I know Michael Jackson went to his concerts and people fell on the floor. Under demonic anointing. I'm not moved. I am moved when somebody leaves my meeting and instead of desiring Chelsea and Man United, he begins to desire the word of God. I know something fell on him, because it takes something supernatural to leave what every other person is doing to do what few are doing. Something must have happened to you. So many of you will receive impartation from here. You will go and begin to tear the Bible, eat it cover to cover. You are searching for scriptures and you are hearing scriptures. You are not getting tired. That's a man that received that impartation. That's a man that comes up hither. Some of you who are already walking with the word of God, you will leave this meeting and when the Holy Ghost sneezes, you will hear. And when the Holy Ghost say, hey, you stop. It doesn't matter what is happening. Fear of the Lord will come upon you. Some of you will leave this scripture and you will open one scripture and suddenly the life of God will break out and you will just sit on one verse for 2 weeks and you are seeing new things every morning. You are bringing riches out of the scripture because something has happened to you. That's a man that has come up hither. Some of you will leave this meeting and the Holy Ghost will become the governor of your life. That's a man who has come up hither. And the one that interests me the most, some of you will leave this conference and you become creatures of prayer. You wake up in the morning, Matakaba, Refarakizo Safanai, Bataria Bashaba Tekesiza, Maranda Kibarado. Some of you will be going to the office. Your boss is talking to you. Before you say, sir, you say, kaparakati. He said, what did you say? He said, sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. Something is happening to my spirit. There is fire in my spirit. There is a bomb is exploding in my spirit. I can't keep this thing anymore. You enter your room from work. You are tired. While you are removing your shirt, and you are there for 3 hours. They said, you wanted food. You entered the parlor. You say, bring my food. You were going inside to take off your dress, and it will take you 3 hours to take off your dress, because while you are pulling your dress, you are caught up in the heavens. Because as you began to pray, suddenly the heavens open and you enter the realms of eternity. By the time you come back, you thought it was 5 minutes. They say, sir, you were there for 4 hours. You say, 4 hours? How come? What happened? You have begun to have the Sinai experience. The same way Moses climbed Mount Sinai and he was there for 40 days. You will just step in and out, and they will tell you you are there for 6 hours because you have entered prayer. That's the realm of a priest. That's when you can stand up and say, death ceases in our family. You don't need to call the elders. You don't need to do a ceremony, because your kingship authority have come upon you. You can stand up and say, come on. Nobody has graduated from the university in this family. In the name of the Lord Jesus, everybody from now on will not just graduate, but will have a PhD. And as you talk, things begin to change because you have ascended. Sisters, listen. In this kingdom, there are realms. There are realms. Some are still children. Others have become sons. Others have become priests. Others have become kings. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 4, it says, where the word of the king is, there is power. Who can say unto him, what doest thou? Who? When he speaks, his word is law. It doesn't matter how many herbalists gather together. They can do all the enchantment and concoction. They can do all the mysteries in darkness until you speak. When you speak, your words carry more mystery than all the concoction they do. And the final realm is not the realm of a king. It's the realm of a god. Because in this world, there are certain men that are gods. In Exodus chapter 7 verse 1, he said to Moses, I have made you a god over Pharaoh. You are not a prophet. He said, Aaron is your prophet, but you are a god over Pharaoh. The reason is because he said in John chapter 10 verse 34, he said, ye are gods unto whom the word of the Lord came, and the scriptures cannot be broken. You will think everybody is a pastor. No, there are certain men that are gods walking on the face of the earth. That's why they have that level of authority. A man cannot build a 50,000 auditorium in 8 months, except as even money hears his commandment. So there are certain men, they don't talk to men. They talk to spirits. They talk to things. That man can decide. I heard the story of Benson in Dahosa. They were building gravel finished. There was no gravel in supply. And he came and spoke to the gravel. He said, from today, don't finish again. From today, don't finish again. And gravel no longer finished. Because that's not a man, that's a god. He can talk to the wind, he can talk to the water, he can talk to the stone. Anything he can speak to, we obey him. How can a man tell his son, your heavens are open? He said, I bless you with corn and wine. When another father is praying for his son to have a job, another father says, I bless you with corn and wine. And because he spoke, his son was traveling and the heaven arrested him. He was sleeping. He wasn't praying. But heaven came there because somebody said, your heavens are open. That word created a ladder from heaven to earth. And he told him, as a prince, you have power with God and have prevailed. Your name shall no longer be Jacob but Israel. You know what he did to him? He stopped him from being a man. He made him a system. He made him a nation. And the reason Jacob became Israel was because Isaac spoke over him. Who is Isaac? That's a God walking on the face of the earth. If they speak, even the heavens will resonate to make sure that thing happens. That's the realms of ascension. Somebody is ascending from the realm of a child to the realm of a son. Somebody is ascending from the realm of a son to the realm of a priest. Somebody is ascending from the realm of a priest to the realm of a king. And somebody is ascending from the realm of a king to the realm of a God. Pray in the Holy Ghost now. Have healing ministries, but there are other men that their healing ministry have attracted the whole world. I walk in the healing anointing, but when I see what Reverend Chris Oyakhilome does, I know I'm a child without being told. Because while I'm praying for somebody to be healed, another man doesn't just declare. When it comes for a meeting, they gather those with terminal disease one side. They gather those on wheelchairs in one side. They gather those who are bedridden on one side. If I enter a meeting and I see that, my faith may collapse. But that's what the man does. And when he comes, he doesn't preach. He just walks up to them. Out, 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 out. When he finishes with the demons, he comes to the guys on the wheelchair and he begins to carry them up. As if they sat down, they were tired. These are lame men. These are cripples. And when he finishes, he goes to those who are bedridden and he stretches his hand on them. And you literally see this man transfer the anointing from his palm into a dead man. And this person stands up and begins to run. That man doesn't have the gift of healing. He has a ministry of healing. Because that's a God walking among men. His healing ministry have attracted the whole world. He organized ISM. And ministers came from 95 nations of the world. I'm not saying one minister say I came from Peru. People came with charter jets from 95 nations on the world, because a man could demonstrate the dimension. That's the realm men must enter. That's the realm people must enter. I heard the story of W.F. Kumuye. They were struggling with a madman in chains, and the man walked to him and he said, release him. And the people who were holding the madman thought he was talking to them. And when they left the madman, the guy said, good evening, sir. They didn't know that he wasn't talking to the men. He was talking to the demons. And the moment he said, released him, every demon that made that man mad left in a second. And the man, the chain, the people holding him all released him. Because his word is a commandment. That's not a man. These are realms. These are systems. These are dimensions of deity. They have ascended. It's the realm of ascension. It's a realm of ascension. I heard the story of Bishop David Oyedepo. Somebody was in intensive care unit and was dying. Doctors gave up, they left him. And Bishop Oyedepo came and he looked through the glass and he said, okay, I've seen him, he's fine. No prayer, because he looked upon him. The radiation of power that left his eye went and operated the man. He didn't need to talk. Once upon a time, somebody was mad. They locked him in a room because he was violent. And when Bishop came home, they say, that person is mad. He said, where is he? They say, he's in the room. And he enter. And when he enter, what? Get up. Somebody that they bound behind closed doors. No prayer. The moment he entered the room, light came. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. He just entered the room and he stand up. Welcome, sir. Yes, how are you? Without talking, welcome, sir. The person who was stoning and trying to kill everybody. Welcome, sir. How are you? Fine, follow me. And that guy didn't just follow him. Today he's a pastor. So he followed him from madness to become a deliverance minister. Ascension is not a joke.
It's a summon into realms. It's a calling into dimensions. And you can choose where you will walk. You can choose to walk in the realm of a child. You can choose to walk in the realm of a son. You can choose to walk in the realm of a priest. You can choose to walk in the realm of a king. And you can choose to walk in the realm of a God.
Can I pray for you now? Me, I want to activate my own little realm. I'm still trying to check whether I'm a child or a son. Because when I saw the ladder, I said, God, help me. When will I get here? Help me, Jesus. Help me. Help me. I don't know, because sometimes it looks as if I'm fluctuating between a son and a child. We are still growing. But a day will come when we'll become like gods. When we talk, nations will come to a standstill. The Bible said, Joshua, he stood in the middle of battle and he said, let the sun remain upon the mountains of Ajalon. He said, let the moon remain upon the valley of Gibeon. He was not talking to men. He was commanding the sun and the moon. And the Bible said, the sun, they don't make haste to go down. He said, there have never been a day like that. Neither will there ever be in the day that God hearkened to the voice of a man. The glory of that testimony is not that the guy could command sun and moon. Is that God obeyed the voice of a man. What realm is that? As if he became a colleague with God. And God speaks, he obeys. He speaks, God obeys. What realm is that? The sovereign monarch. A man speaks, and the Bible said, in the day that God hearkened to the voice of a man. The Bible spoke about Moses. He stepped into Egypt and he stretched his rod and brought down a whole civilization. He shut down Egypt with a rod. And when he left Egypt, the Leviathan in the Red Sea wanted to contend with him. And when Moses stretched the rod, the Bible said God blasted from his nostrils and parted the Red Sea. So Moses entered into partnership with Yahweh. Moses is walking on earth. God is walking in heaven. I thought the work of God ended on the sixth day. How can a man still put God to work? Dimensions. So God have not stopped working. That's why Jesus came and said, until now my Father walketh and I must walk. Because there are men that make God walk till today. I want to pray for you now. If there is any ounce of hunger in your spirit, this is the time. One of the things God has given me is the ability to set men on fire. I can preach it, I can release it. And there is a fire that is about to come on some of you this morning. You will live here, fasting will become your normal life. You won't know how. You will live here, prayer will become your second name. You know, people who play are God players. People who dance are God dancers. People who pray are not men of prayer, they are prayer. Some of you, prayer will become your second name. There are some of you that there will be so much hunger for souls. From this meeting, you will become an evangelist of fire. You won't know how. Everybody you see, you talk to about Jesus. And you will baptize men in the Holy Spirit on this something phenomenal. Before they come for the next conference, even this ministry will partner with you to make this event happen. Do double and all. Do double and all.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just say this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website orocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.